right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Hero's Journey. We're slowly readjusting to this new setup that we got. I'm not doing a countdown anymore. The intro music is a little different. Cam's not doing his. I don't even know what you said anymore, but he did. He said something.
You know what's funny? We thought when we first did that intro, I was like, this sounds golden. And apparently I was talking like a robot. And some of my coworkers who were, when we finally changed it, they're like, thank God, you sounded like you were like dying, you know, and it was really boring. I was like, why didn't you guys tell me that like 30 episodes ago, you know?
But yeah, we've changed a lot.
We cut that part off. But Annabelle, how you been doing, man? How you been feeling?
I've been really, really pondering this question. It's been trending all over social media.
The deep things of life?
The deep things of life. My algorithm is right now filled with three things. Star Wars, because of episode 3, Dragon Ball Z, and another one is 100 men versus one gorilla. That's all I see right now. So who would win 100 men versus one gorilla? The internet's split right now, Cam. I want to get your thoughts.
Well, there's only one right answer, and we'll tell you what the answer is here. But when you told me that at the gym, because I guess my algorithm is not set on yours, so I hadn't heard that one yet, and I was like, what the heck are you talking about? But I put a lot of thought into this, Annabelle, and we might even have, you know, different ideas on this. But I'm picking that one gorilla. He'll be ripping dicks off left and right, you know, just putting people in chokeholds, smashing skulls.
I'm kind of with you. So the internet's divided, and I've heard a lot of interesting theories. I want to save the best one for last. But the biggest argument is that we are smarter and
have more stamina. You would hope so.
I would hope so. And even though a gorilla is way stronger and can easily rip us apart, the idea is that it would get tired at one point. But also, part of the experiment or the test or the challenge is it would be hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah,
so there's no weapons. There's no nothing.
You can't.
You're just in an empty arena.
You can't use rocks. Nothing like that.
What are you gonna do?
Like how do you like if that gorilla took a nap and you were just punching it, could you kill it by just punching it? Aren't their skulls thicker than ours?
And if it's like the average person, oh, we're screwed.
Dude, have you seen gorilla teeth? Have you tried to put that thing in a chokehold and it turned around and just bit your face off? I'm just telling you, man.
I think I'm team gorilla.
I see where you're coming from with the 100 men. And honestly, that's probably, well, you know, is this 100, you know, average men? Or are these 100 jockos? Because I would pick people like, you know, a jocko fighting a gorilla because he pretty much
like
is.
Like 100 UFC fighters, I would say, okay, maybe we stand a chance.
Yeah, that was my first question is what kind of men are we talking about here?
Bro, it's probably like average man out there. I did hear one interesting. There was this one guy. If I find the video, it was pretty funny. His suggestion. He said he would take one for the team. Drain the gorilla of all its power source, if you get what I'm saying.
Oh my gosh, Adam. Bro, not on the podcast. Not on the podcast. Okay. we're gonna cut you off there.
Anyway, you get the idea.
You take
and then everyone else can come.
Yeah.
Once it's been drained.
Stop. Okay, we're gonna get into the topic now since Annabelle has told us his thoughts on the you said one gorilla, you sided with me or are you saying the men?
No, I'm team gorilla.
You're team gorilla? Yeah, I'm team gorilla too. All right, well, today, apart from the gorilla versus men, but if you want to beat that one gorilla, maybe you do need to listen to the rest of this episode because we want to talk about pretty much like how hard should you be training? How hard should you be training when you go to the gym? Like what's the intensity that you bring when you come to the gym? And Annabelle and I are actually back at a gym. We both have home gyms and we had been training that way for many years and we love it. But we both joined a gym, same gyms. We've been working out together and you see a lot more things, obviously, because there's more people there, but you see a lot of things and you see a lot of how some people train And we were just, you know, chatting of like, there's a decent amount of, more than a decent amount of people who aren't training with the right amount of intensity. And so that's why we wanted to bring this up, because you might think that you're training hard, but you're really not. Or you might think that you're training, you know, really easy, but you're actually training pretty hard. And that's why you're not recovering and stuff like that.
Or you may not be training at all and you're exercising. And when we say training, we mean you have like a structure plan. You know what you're doing that day. You also know the level of intensity, how hard you need to be pushing. Some people don't even train. They're just exercising.
Yeah. And you, yes, that's a great point. And we have an episode on that. So go check it out. So let's frame the conversation this way, starting off. Okay. So on a, you know, on a spectrum, on one side of the spectrum, you have volume. And then on the other side of the spectrum, you have intensity. And they're pretty much inversely related, meaning you really can't train hard and train long, and you can't really train long and hard at the same time, unless, you know, maybe you're on steroids, which gives you the supernatural ability to recover. So you can kind of like train really hard and train really long and do that on repeat, because you're getting a substance that allows your body to abnormally recover. You've heard that one before, right, Annabelle, about the volume?
I'm stuck on the gorilla thing. I'm so sorry.
You're still thinking about the gorilla?
Yeah.
Are you the one who's going to take one for the team?
Oh, we'll get Connor to do it.
Okay.
But no, I agree. I think being in the gym overall, we've noticed things that you don't really, that you kind of forget about when you're working out from home. That Cam and I talked about, oh my gosh, I forgot that this was a thing that most people don't know. We're not coming from like a place of like, we're better than you, we know more than you, which maybe we do, maybe we don't, I don't know. But we were just trying to help. And this is one area that I think a lot of people struggle with or don't understand. When you're a beginner, you can just touch the weight and you'll make progress. But you'll get to a point where you can easily maintain. I think Cam and I were talking about this when we were in the sauna, in the gym. And it's so easy to maintain. That's like a great thing. But if you want to keep progressing, you're going to have to train harder than last time. Like, there's a lot of things we'll get into, but if you just take one thing away from now, is you have to train harder than last time. And that doesn't mean you're not going to be smart about it. There's a lot of ways to manipulate that. But if you don't, you're not going to progress.
That's a great point. So there's two different ways or scales that you can kind of base whether or not, like, how hard you're pushing when you go to the gym. There's a percentage-based scale, which is you have like your one rep max, which is obviously the max weight that you can do for one repetition. So it's really, really, really intense. Like so intense, so much that you cannot do another rep. You physically cannot do another rep, or you'll fail the rep or formal breakdown or whatever. So you have percentages based off that, like a 90%, an 80%, all the way down to maybe like a 50%. And you will base your workout or the exercise that you're doing based off that one rep max, a percentage of that. So that's one side. And that's actually how Annabelle and I typically train. Like we tend to lean more towards this way, but recently we've been sliding, dabbling into the other round, other way, the dark side. That is a RPE, or a rate of perceived exertion. And guys, there are pros and cons for both. And there are some people who you swear by, you have to do a percentage-based training, and some people swear by, you have to do an RPE. And there's good arguments for both. We'll talk about some of those today as well. But the biggest thing is it's going to keep you on track. It'll keep your mind right when you step into the gym and do an exercise. So we want to talk about RPE first and how that will affect an exercise and your overall training. Anything you want to add on that, Annabelle?
I think, like with anything, it all depends what your goal is and what you're trying to accomplish. I want to say, generally speaking, you see percentage base more like in strength training or with athletes. I remember that, like when I played sports back in the day, And even when we're on that strength cycle, a lot of it is percentage based. And you're not always doing a one rep max. Sometimes it could be an estimated one rep max. Especially if you're a beginner, you don't want to just load up the bar. You're going to crush yourself because you don't know what you're doing yet.
Check yourself.
So you just do an estimated percentage of what you would think it would be. And you just work your way through that. But now we're dabbling into some bodybuilding. Dun, dun, dun.
Right. So when you, let's start here. When you think of RPE, which is the rate on a basically a scale of what you think or perceive that exercise to be. So a zero would be you're like laying on the couch, or maybe a one is laying on the couch. And a 10 is essentially a one rep max. It was a 10 out of 10. It was so hard. You literally couldn't do another of an extra of a rep, or maybe another lap or something without some sort of rest. Like you just can't do anymore. It was so hard. And then basically you kind of go back from there. So like a 9 would be a little bit less than that, but you might've only had one more lap or one more rep or, you know, one more exercise left in the tank or however you want to break it up. Because I'm also not thinking just bodybuilding, like 3 sets of 10. I'm also thinking about CrossFit or Hyrox or running or sprinting, where it's like after you do 100 meters, could you do another one right away? If not, then that was your, you know, 10 out of 10, or, you know, maybe I could do just a little bit longer. Maybe that's a 9 out of 10, that type of deal. But it's basically looking at what you think that exercise was, or that you can even do it for a workout too. You could look over the entire workout and you can go, okay, that workout routine right there, what we just did, that session, that was maybe like a 7. Like I could probably, you know, gone a little bit more, or, you know, maybe time, you know, restricted me from doing more. So like maybe that workout was like a 6, but it all depends, like, almost on what you're training for. What's your goal?
Cause if then also, I think you're probably going to get to this, but at some point, what was once an 8 is not going to be an 8.
Correct.
You know, so if you were benching 135 and that was like you were barely able to get it for 6 and that was an 8, and you're not doing it and you're just able to rep it out, you're like, okay, that is not an 8 for you anymore. You need to go up in weights or in rep, or something has to change.
And that's how it shows you how you're progressing, as you're saying, Annabelle, is 135 bench, you could get 5 reps. And it was like, man, that was like an 8. I perceived that, you know, set as an 8 out of 10. Like maybe I could have done 1 or 2 more reps, maybe. But yeah, it was really challenging. And then you do 135 maybe a couple weeks later and you're like, you rack it and you're like, that was like a 6, maybe 5. Well, that's a sign to you that you need to go up, that the weight needs to go up or the reps need to go up. You can't just keep doing 135 for 6 until it's like, oh, now it feels like a warm-up weight. Like you have to start, it's a key and indication that you need to progress. And why some people like this is, and it also comes with a con, but why some people like this is it takes into account, how'd you sleep last night? Are you a little sleep deprived? Because that's going to take into account that 135 feeling heavier or lighter. Mm-hmm. How'd you eat that morning? Like, are you running on like, I skipped breakfast, work was crazy, I was super stressed, I didn't sleep well, I get to the gym, you're like, why does it feel like I'm lifting the entire gym right now when I did this pretty easy last time? So it takes more of those things into consideration, while a percentage one rep max says it's still your 1% of your one rep max. Even though you were feeling crummy today, you still got to do it. So there's pros and cons of each.
Yeah, and I guess I'll be a devil advocate. And I'm sure somebody who's big on percentage-based training will probably say, okay, maybe you do need to go down a little bit and not do as much or change something up. So it's not like they're not listening to their bodies, but the idea behind it is that you're sticking to the percentage most of the time regardless.
Correct. Yes, correct. And what I like about this is, because Annabelle and I've been doing recently, dude, Annabelle's a pit bull. If you work out with him, if it looks like you're not at an 8 when you finish the set, he'll be like, "Get back in there, boy, you got more," and then he throws you back in there.
I know when you're fake struggling too.
He does. He wants to see those arms start jiggling when you're trying to push the weight up.
I don't think you're like shaking yet.
Yeah, so that's kind of how we've been incorporating this recently is. When you get done with the set, you go, whoa, that was pretty hard. And I would rate that as this. And that lets you know that, okay, it's time to progress. Now, that does not say you are not taking into consideration how many sets, how many reps, whether you're endurance-based training, hypertrophy, or strength, which we're about to get into right now. It still doesn't negate those things. It's in addition to, it's the lens by which you're filtering that set in that workout. Yes,
it's a component of the bigger picture.
Correct. So, and we'll give them an example of like hypertrophy training with RPE, and you know when it'd be time to like progress or something like that.
So just like you're working like within a certain rep range, is that kind of what you were thinking?
Yeah.
Generally speaking, and Cam will pull up a chart here soon, hypertrophy is typically 8 to 12 rep ranges is what some people would say. Endurance is like 12 to 15 plus. And then sits and below is like strength training. And what they refer or what they're trying to say is you're building your strength. Hypertrophy, you're building like muscle mass or size. And then endurance is just conditioning for your muscles. A lot of people think that they're very independent, meaning if you're only strength training, you're not building muscle. If you're only building muscle, you're not really building strength. And you have, I can't remember what the word that people use sometimes, like empty muscles. I've heard people say that before. Have you heard that, Cam? Where it's like, oh, it's just empty muscles because you're not really building strength. I'm on a different algorithm. It's okay.
It's all right. I see what you're saying though.
Where they're not really, they're almost like, I hate to say it, but a lot of people think that bodybuilding builds like useless muscles. They're not really empty, whatever. And then endurance space is you're not really building any strength or muscle size. It's just pure.
But like, you can do 100 air squats in a row and, you know, run a half marathon pretty fast. That type of deal.
And the chart that we want to show you is that...
I'll pull it up.
It's yes and no. It's... You can't 100% isolate the rep ranges and what you're doing. So this is a really good article.
Hey, well, can you see this?
Yeah, actually, I can't see it.
All right, take them through it, Annabelle.
So remind me to post it in the show notes.
Okay, I'll post it.
This is from... I think it's what? Stronger by Science?
Yes.
They have a lot of great information. I'm sorry, guys. I just burped. I'm drinking coffee, like 300 milligrams of caffeine. So I'm feeling pretty good right now.
Are you levitating yet?
No, not yet. I'm at the point where 300 milligrams just gets me okay.
You're about to beat that gorilla.
So I forgot that I'm not controlling this. Can you scroll down just a hair? So this is what people think. So this is a chart. In this article. So what people think is when you're only strength training, you're only going to build pure strength. You're not building much size. You're not building much endurance, et cetera, et cetera. Same thing if you're only doing pure size. You're only doing size. You're not getting much stronger. You're not really getting much endurance. But really, that's not the case. The way that it actually works, scroll down a little bit, Cam.
Okay.
Is this. It's impossible to strength train and not build muscle mass. It's impossible to not hypertrophy train and gain any strength. They're all connected. Yes, they are more emphasis on one than the other. Same thing with endurance. Yet, yes, there will be a point where when you're endurance training and you're doing 15 plus reps where you may not see as much strength gain. It is true. But generally speaking, most people work between the 6 to 12-ish anyway. So you're working your strength and your size. You're working your size and endurance. I think for a lot of times people think, well, I'm only working on my hypertrophy right now. I'm not really getting much strength. Or I'm only strength training and I'm not really gaining much size. And that is true to an extent. Because I know a lot of people complain about powerlifting and how they don't really build their legs that much. There's not much leg development or they have small arms or this and that. And that may be true just because of the way that they're programming and what they're emphasizing. And depending on the type of squat, it may emphasize certain muscle parts and others, but not necessarily because they're not building size.
Yes. I mean, Annabelle and I pretty much started with pretty much pure strength. We were around the 1 to 5 reps And
for a long time.
And I know that we did put on some size for sure. And we definitely gained a lot of strength. And I like what you're saying, Annabelle, and what this chart actually shows is like, you're not really, you're just emphasizing. That's the key takeaways. You're emphasizing pure strength, but you are getting strength and size and pure size and some size and endurance, and maybe a little bit less on the pure endurance, because there's no such thing as pure endurance and pure strength, because there's so much overlap. So I like how the second chart shows it, and I'm going to scroll back up to show the what we kind of think, and that's just a framework, and most people think this way is because that's what charts kind of like show, is like, well, if you want to be stronger, be in the 1 to 5 rep range. If you want to build hypertrophy, be in the 8 to 12. And if you want pure endurance, and like, yes, that is somewhat true. And so like, it's a good reference point, but what's actually happening is you are dabbling a little bit, and it's a sliding scale. There's a spectrum.
Also too, I like it when you tell me once, it's like, it's impossible to isolate a muscle group. So even though you're doing, I don't know, leg extensions to isolate a muscle, you're not 100% isolating. You're just emphasizing a certain region of the body a little bit more.
This is also correct. Like, it's impossible to purely isolate. Now, we still call them isolation because it is different than a compound. Like, they're different things, so you have to label them different things. But like, yeah, if you're doing leg extensions, you're getting a little bit of hip flexion. You know, you probably are contracting your gastroc a little bit to kind of like push on the little foot pedal part as you kick up. You know, like, you're not just solely isolating. But this is a good framework, a good reference point to know, like, really the biggest reason why you want to switch up your rep ranges is to help with plateaus. Because your body wants some variation. Like, it doesn't have to always be variable. Like, you know, I've got to confuse them to the point where like every workout I got to change it. But like, so for an example, what I was trying to ask you kind of earlier, Annabelle, was like,
and right, I misunderstood your question.
Yeah, no, that's
sorry,
okay.
I'm,
it was like, right,
caffeinated.
No, it's okay. Annabelle and I were like in the 10 to 12 rep range in our workouts. And we did that for about 5 weeks. So we're, again, kind of like dab in the middle here on this chart. And you get to a point where it's like, okay, I've progressed the weights. So like, I'm still like, what was an 8 out of 10 on the RPE scale? Let's just go like with, I don't know, let's go bicep curls, something, preacher curls. Like, we were doing, let's just say 60 pounds and I was getting 12 reps and it was like, I was failing. It was like an 8 or a 9. Well, then the next time it was a little bit easier. So then the time after that, I increased the weight to 65. And then once that got easier, once that 8 became like a 6 or 7, then I increased the weight. So we were still in that 8 to 12 rep range, but the weight was increasing because my exertion, or perceived like how hard I thought it was going down. So that means I can make the weight go up, but I was keeping the reps the same. But then after a while, you're going to hit a point where it's like, oh, it's just, I feel kind of stuck, or maybe my body's kind of starting to adapt to this rep range. Well, now Annabelle and I are starting to decrease the reps. We're starting to hit more of that like 8 to 10, you know, 7 to 10 kind of rep range. Similar exercises, if not the same exercises, still trying to push to like that 8 out of 10 on the rate of perceived exertion, but we are just changing up some of the rep ranges. So that's a way how you can kind of start to progress, is by just changing up some of these variables. And once an 8 is now like a 6, make it heavier.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of ways to program, but like that's one way that I prefer and I like and I enjoy, just because it helps keep you fresh. You're not feeling like you're destroying yourself. Like, you're, like, we train hard, but also smart. And I can't think for about, I don't know, 4 to 6 weeks, we're doing a certain rep range. And then we go down to, I don't know, from 10 to 12 to 8 to 10. You keep going down. Then you just repeat. And maybe somewhere in between, you have like a deload week, depending on how you're feeling and whatnot.
Yeah. And I hope we're making sense right now with this whole, like, how hard are you perceiving a workout? It started a couple of different ways. One was, we were waiting to get on a machine because we'd never had to wait before to get on a machine. And some guy, you know, grabbed the machine before us and we're like, okay, well, we'll go do this exercise. And by the time we're done, he should be done. And, cause you know, it's going to take someone at least, you know, if you're if you're working three hard sets and resting at least 60 seconds, like they're going to be on that for at least a good 6 to 10 minutes or something like that.
Back up a little bit. Explain the difference between a warm up and a hard set. A lot of people don't know the difference in how many warm up sets. Does it matter? Who are they for?
Oh, that's a good point. A warm up set is, let's take bench press. A warm up set is, and we're going to keep the math simple, just 135, you know, 45 pound plates on each side. You don't just walk into the gym and put on your working set of 135. That's a one way path to get injured right there, because your body is not ready for that. So you want to warm up. So maybe you do the barbell for like 10 reps and then maybe you put 25 pounds on each side. So you're at 95 pounds and you do that for like 5 reps. Okay. So those are you don't care about rate of perceived exertion. You don't really necessarily even care about percentages, though you want to be probably like, you know, 50% of your working sets. And then maybe like an 80% of your working set to build up to your working set, which is like 100% of what you're going to work with that day. So like, and it varies. Some people say you need to do two or maybe three working sets. Maybe you need to do like 50, 65, and 85. And it depends on your style of training, but you don't really care too much. You just want to get your body primed for that movement and getting it ready to go into like, okay, I'm going into what I'm trying to work today, which is 135, and I'm doing, you know, 3 sets of 8, and I want today to be a 7 out of 10 on the RPE, because last time it was an 8 out of 10 on the RPE. And you're just basing it, that set based off those parameters.
Absolutely. And I think that when we were doing more powerlifting, I would definitely wanted 3 to 4 warm-ups because we were going heavy. And that just made me, I felt good. Now that we're doing more machines, I'm like, I feel fine with like 2 to 3 warm-ups. I'm not aching. I'm not too worried about it. So you'll just kind of figure that out too for yourself. And then when you're doing the warm-up sets, you don't need to take much, because we're going to talk about it at some point. It's like you don't need to take a, I don't know, 2-minute, 1-minute rest break. It's just pretty much while you're swapping out the weight and you should be good to go. You'll take a final break before you get to your first work set though.
Yeah. I mean, theoretically, the weight should be so light that it's no factor. You know, it's no problem. Like, You're just getting the body ready. You're not like struggling. If you're struggling on your warm up, then that probably means that should probably be your work set. Yes. Yeah, so, we're not talking about warm up sets. We're talking about people going in for their work sets. So, this guy gets on the machine. We go to do another machine. I kid you not, 3 minutes later, I look over and he was done. He was done with that machine after like 3 minutes. So then we're like, well, let's go grab
that. Is that the chest press machine? The Arsenal one?
I don't remember.
Which machine was it?
It was either, I think it was either like the Preacher Curl machine, or it was the the incline machine bench press.
It was a Preacher Curl, man. He just sat down and was done.
Yeah. And I don't know this person's work. Maybe he was doing a 1 rep finisher or something like that, but it actually happens more frequently than you think that someone's on a machine for not too long. And what that tells me is they're not training that hard. You're just going through the motion of the exercise. You're just curling it, putting back down, resting 15, 20 seconds, doing it again. And then you're done in a couple minutes and you move on to the next one. And it's like, I'm glad that you're moving your body. It's way better than sitting on the couch, but at some point you have to start pushing yourself, or there's going to be no gains on the table. You will look exactly the same.
Most of us will consider ourselves Minutemen, but we need to give the illusion that we can last longer. You know what I'm saying?
Man, well, you're just killing it today, aren't you, buddy? And it's okay to be a Minuteman, all right?
You got to give the illusion that you're 2 minutes or 3.
That's right. We want the zero muscles. What'd you say? The useless muscles?
That's what the internet says, not me, man. I know they're not useless.
Yeah, you're right. So that person's not training that hard, and that can be applied to anything. So like another good example was, and if my mom listens to this episode, is my mom does Orange Theory. So it's based off of like a heart rate zone, and you want to have so many points in the orange zone, which I'm not exactly sure which is the percentage of your, you know, heart rate max or whatever, but it's a good workout zone. And she tells me she gets, you know, this many, I think they call them splat points, this many points. And then my wife went with her to a class one time and my mom got like 14 splat points. And I think Robin got like 40. And, you know, Robin was checking her heart rate and she was like, yeah, I was like, I was in the orange zone majority of that workout and sometimes even in the red. My mom was mainly in the green zone and sometimes in the orange, but never in the red. So that got me thinking of like, so I'm glad that my mom is exercising. I'm glad she's doing, you know, some cardio and some weights. But what it seems to be, and my wife was kind of like watching her when she was doing the weight parts, is she's not pushing herself hard on the weights. It's almost like she's doing warm-up weights in during the workout. Like she's doing, you know, 10 bent over rows, you know, 10 reps each arm. And that was like maybe like a five, like she maybe would rate that as like a 5 out of 10 on the rate of perceived exertion when she really needs to be at like a 7 or 8. And that's going to put her into that next level.
I'm going to defend your mom for a second.
Go for it.
I'm sure that at one point that was super challenging for her. And now she's at the point like, oh my gosh, I can actually do this without any problem. I know for myself too, you had this idea that once I get into X shape, this is going to be easier. But it's a belief that you need to change it and then realize that you're supposed to always kind of be hard if you want to keep progressing in the gym.
No, she
just because now.
Yeah, she's definitely progressed. You are correct in defending her. But I think she's very satisfied with the weight and the time she's doing on the treadmill. So now it's that once was maybe an 8 is now at like a 5 out of 10.
Exactly.
And now she's not pushing herself into that quote orange zone, or she's not, the exercises aren't hard anymore because she had already progressed and she's not going up.
I mean, really, no, it sucks when it's hard. No one likes it.
No one does. There's, you know, we can talk a little bit about rest periods in between too, because the harder you push, the more rest that you'll need. And depending on the rep range, depends on how much, you know, rest you'll need in between, because it will target different parts of the muscle and nervous system and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
So, you know, this episode isn't about that.
Or you say a minute to 2 minutes is generally okay, but if it's like really heavy, you might be looking at 2 to 5 minutes if you're thinking like powerlifting.
Exactly. And you nailed it right there. So basically what we just want to get across in today's episode is, when in doubt, train hard. Train hard on that set. Push yourself a little bit. Have a goal going in. Like, you know, I've been a little lackadaisical recently. Today on my exercises, I want to get to a 7 out of 10. Like, I only want a couple reps left in reserve. You know, I want to work it. I want the muscles to burn. And take every set to that 7 out of 10. And stay there, stay with that set, stay with those reps until that 7 that you were perceiving how hard that was is like a 6, then maybe a 5. And then at that point, you need to either increase the weight or increase the reps, depending on what, you know, your protocol calls for.
Hey, dude, did you explain the whole reps and reserve and how it's kind of pretty much rate of perceived exertion, but it's like a way too easier?
Yeah, so that's a good point. So a 7 out of 10 would be that you had maybe, gun to your head, 3 reps left. So like you were like, man, that was really hard. But like if someone was like, your family's, you gotta suffer if you don't get 3 more reps on bench press, you could be like, I got you.
Gorilla's coming, get ready.
That's right. I got, did you say the gorilla? What'd you say? Yeah. You know, you could squeak out 3 more. And it does vary a little bit with like, you know, compound lifts, like back squat versus like a hack squat. Like you can take a hack squat all the way up to absolute failure because it's in a machine, it's safe. Like barbell, like you're probably never, unless again you're doing a 1 rep max, you're probably never taking it to the point of absolute failure, because that's when it gets really unsafe. So it depends on the type of exercise you're doing too. But yeah, you had 3 reps left on a 7 out of 10, maybe 1 more if you like, if your form broke down and you know you're like the weight's going to crush you. But that's what a 7 would mean. An 8 would mean like it's a bit harder. Maybe you only had 2. And this is perceived, right? This is what you're just thinking about. This is a way to label your workouts to know if you're actually training hard. Try and make something subjective, making it objective.
And the reason they people say 1 to 2 reps in reserve, so about 8 or 9, is because you need to have that stimulus to drive muscle growth. If not, you're not giving your body a reason to adapt. If not, it's like, well, I'm good. I don't need to.
You got
try to grow more. That's
you got to get a little uncomfortable when you're working out. You got to, if you're wanting to progress. If you don't want to, and you're just fine with punching the clock and getting your body moving, which is better than the alternative,
way
then
better.
Be fine with that and be fine with the results that you have. But if you want the next bit, if you want to be stronger, be a little bit bigger, be a little bit faster, be a little bit healthier, then you need to start going into those 7, 8, 9, you know, range on that RPE scale.
The pain cave.
The pain cave. But you don't always want to train hard. So my PT brain, my therapist brain is kicking in here saying,
thank you.
Do what?
I said, thank you. We need that.
Yeah. So that starts to kick in and being like, you know, there are times when you don't need to train hard, where you don't need to be as intense. And, you know, if you're coming back from an injury, like you need to slowly load up those tissue again, and you don't want to just jump back into something super hard and super heavy and super fatiguing, because the risk of injury could go back up if you're not giving that part of your body adequate time, recovery time and time to get back in. A good therapist should load your muscles, like not just help you with your pain, but restore your range and get you back doing those type of movement patterns. Like a good therapist should take you through that. So when you do go back to the gym, you're ready. But yeah, you want to maybe be okay with not pushing as hard if you're coming back from an injury or a layoff. I would say that's one reason why you shouldn't go as hard.
I agree. I would say,
yeah, what?
I was going to say, I agree with you 100%. It's like we train smart, we train hard, we do both. And you know what? Maybe what was once an 8 is now like a 12. So now you have like a new 8. So you're still pushing hard, but you're being smart about it. And I thought, okay, I can't do 135 now. Maybe I'm like a 115, but this is like an 8 for me right now. It's like knowing, that's what Cam's talking about. It's like knowing where to start. You're still pushing hard. The weight may be different, but you just have to realize that.
Yeah. And the weight might be different because you're being smart about it. You're exactly right. Another thing, kind of similar, kind of like the same thing, is if you tweaked a muscle or a joint. So you have some pain, you know, it's not an injury where like you need to go see like a, you know, an ortho surgeon because you got to repair a muscle or something like that. But you're something hurts. And you might not go balls to the wall. You might not be going to the 7 again. You're still pushing yourself, but something's backing off and you're going maybe through the movement to continue to load that tissue. But I would not do, if you have pain, I would not be pushing to like a 7, 8, or 9 on that RPE scale. You know, back off a little bit. A good example is I tweaked my pec the other day. So like this incline machine press was hurting, like, you know, it had some pain. Like I had a muscle that was tweaked. And so I had, what was it, 45s on each side and 25s on each side. And that was hurting. So what I did was, and that was like my 8 or 9, like on a 3 sets of 10, that was my 8 or 9 was that weight. So what I did was I backed off and I only put, I think at 1 week I did just the 45s on each side and I did 7 to 8. So it was like way off the weights, way off in the reps, but it was still hard, but I was loading the tissue. And the next week I went back, did 10s on each side, and you start to load it again until now, like I don't have pain there anymore. And I'm back to the weight I was doing. And now I'm back to trying to progress the weight on that scale. Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because guys, we're humans. Cam and I make mistakes. We had been barbell lifting for 2 years. So we're going into the realm of machines, and you know that if you're strength training with barbells and doing weighted calisthenics, the carryover to machines is ridiculous. 10 times fold. You feel like you're almost going Super Saiyan or something. So we're doing this incline, what's it called? Chest press? What do they call it? Like it's like an Arsenal incline bench machine.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh my gosh, like we're not even considering the bar. This is just Cam loaded up. We put 245s on each side, 2 wheels on each side. I'm like, oh, this is a lot heavier than her. I think we only did it for 2 or 3, and that's kind of when Cam hurt his shoulder.
It happens, guys. Yes, that's when it happened. But yes, stuff like that happens. You just load slowly, people. Tread carefully.
And just because you've done barbell your whole life and you're going to a machine, don't think you can just throw on tons of weight.
That's right.
Yeah, all right. That's why I'm laughing. Sorry.
Annabelle, anything else with this whole training hard and how intense a workout should be?
Let me check my notes.
We're basically just trying to light the fire under people is that you might be training too easy and you might need to start subjectively making it objective with a scale.
Train hard, train smart, and no, you can't beat a gorilla.
That's right. You heard it here first, folks. The gorilla would win. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. And just remember, we have more episodes coming out. And Animal and I just pray that you guys have a blessed day and a blessed life in the name of Jesus the Messiah.
All right. Amen.
All right. See you guys. Peace.